Network, because you can handle the truth. Truth.
Second, back with the Ralph Winterow Show. I have Dr. Judy Wood on, the only person that has wrote a forensic investigation, not wrote, but has done a forensic investigation of 911 and is qualified. What a novel idea. Background in physics, all sorts of things. It's not some journalist, not some politician. And, how many places were you invited to speak yesterday about the evidence, Dr. Wood?
I think it was zero yesterday.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? The one person, you're the only one that's ever actually done a true investigation, forensic investigation is the word, based on the facts, right?
But people don't want to know the truth, or there's people who don't want you to know the truth. And they do an excellent job of covering it up. And, you know, if somebody ridicules me, people are less likely to look at my work.
How many airplane engines did they discover in 911 in the trouble?
Ones that had been, there were a couple of airplane engines, one airplane engine, but it didn't belong to the airplanes they said were there. It is, you know, there's things that just get rolled out.
In other words, another lie.
Yep.
How many filing cabinets? Do they have lots of filing cabinets full of papers
and
all that?
There was one, and it wasn't burned because it had paper in it. It had dollar bills. It belonged to Ben and Jerry's ice cream store. So they called up Ben and Jerry's and said, here, come get your money.
How many urinals and toilets?
None. Don't know. None.
Really?
Or sinks.
All that porcelain, hard porcelain, and none of it made it through the fall?
Well, we don't know what they had in the upper levels, but we didn't see any, you know, in the rubble, no trace of that. Of course, it's not much of anything. If it's ankle deep, it's hard to come up with much of 110 stories worth.
Now, some other amazing things you had some pictures of steel beams and stuff that looked like pretzels. How do you twist steel into something that looks like a... You'd buy it a pretzel, and these ones that are all curved and wrapped around. How does that happen?
Yeah, without kinking. And, that's when I say, okay, we have parallel evidence. We can see that that's what happens with John Hutchison's work. But, but we do know that it happened, and that's not what happens with a building that's too heavy and because it's hot and falls down.
What was this associated with? I can't remember the guy's name that went after some people. Was it Free Energy? Was that the word?
Yeah, that's was a term. Yeah, it doesn't have a meter on it, and thou shalt not have free energy. Because he who controls the energy controls the people. But he who controls their perception controls everything.
Is that somehow related, free energy or whatever, to what
phenomenon? Yeah. How can you control the people if they have free energy?
Which means what? Explain that. What does that mean?
Oh, if there's people get a hold of free energy, they don't need somebody to control them with energy. You know, they can always raise your energy prices, your gasoline prices. You can be controlled by energy.
Well, it seems like somebody came out with some of that, and some guy destroyed their credibility or something. What, do you remember what that's about?
Oh, yeah. Somebody came out with low-energy nuclear reactions. And, Stephen Jones is the one that created the term cold fusion to make fun of it. It's like he created this. It's the same guy who created the term space beams to try to discredit me.
Right, but who's the other side? Has he discredited them or something really bad?
Yeah, Malov and Ponson Fleischmann. Not Malov, it was Ponson Fleischmann.
With this nonsense.
Yeah, it's so easy to cover up things in our culture, and that's why it's so important for people to be aware, not to go with the flow, but to look at what they know that they know. As they like to say is, know what it is that you know that you know that you know. Mm-hmm. And then know that everything else you don't know. And don't substitute what you don't know or assumptions and so forth for those things that you don't know.
And you got documentation too also where this dust, when any building that comes down, you compare the seismic to other buildings that are brought down by controlled demolitions, not only to prove that the seismic, how it does, but how it actually worked. And then you look at, you got pictures of the dust out of this is going up in the atmosphere, right, instead of down?
Right, and down the eastern seaboard. Regular controlled demolitions, it doesn't really go above the highest point of the original building before it was, destroyed. But this went up and up and up and then down the eastern seaboard.
Which nobody wants to talk about either, right?
Right. They don't like to talk about a lot of it. This particular article I was mentioning, they're fixated on, but nobody has a sample of the dust, so therefore, I guess we can't do anything. Use the data you do have. There's enough information there to understand what happened. For example, you see this guy walking along, wading through dust that stays aloft after he walks through it. So that's really fine dust that's staying aloft after he walks through it. But wait a minute, this is mid-afternoon. How could dust that fine settle out completely before he walked through it? It's because it was coarse dust and became fine dust. It was still breaking down. There's that kind of information in the images. This guy's, got his briefcase and he's coming home from work after, the towers went poof. And you see him moving his feet through this, ankle-deep dust, and it stays aloft after he walks through it. Yet the air is crystal clear above there. So why wasn't there dust hanging in the air?
What did you call that? Non-sequential? What did you call it?
Non-self-quenching.
Non-self-quenching. Non-self-quenching. In other words, this process gets started. Now, they had a building, a
It
banquet.
can. They didn't know. They didn't know. Just like when they tried the first nuke bomb, they did not know if that process was self-quenching. Yet they ran that test of it. So if it was not self-quenching, that would be a huge problem. That would destroy the planet.
Wow.
So when they tested the nuke for the first time, they did not know if it was self-quenching.
Now, how did they run into troubles with a banker building that was next door there? What's the
It,
deal with that?
Bankers Trust was infected. There was a chunk out of the front of it, but it continued to deteriorate, and there was a high amount of zinc, implying that there was transmutation going on. There was some weird stuff in the dust samples they were testing, and after they measured their dust samples, they decided they needed to take the building apart. This is after they'd repaired the building. So why repair the building and then decide based on a dust sample that we better take it apart?
So there was something still going to be still in the process of working in that building, and it
Yep.
wasn't going to stand then, right?
Yep. It was
Wow.
still ongoing, and they had to take the pieces out bit by bit, wearing hazmat suits and whatever else. Similar thing happened with Fiderman Hall on the other side of the complex, on the north side.
And I'll bet you nobody talks about that either, right?
No, they don't like to talk about the evidence. There's plenty of evidence there that contradicts, nukes, thermite, super duper mini micro nano nukes, conventional controlled demolition. All of that is it gets contradicted by the actual evidence. That's why it's so important to begin with what happened. And the way
Well, the
cover-ups are
first thing
run
that got
from
me was the seismic stuff. When I looked at that, I said, this is an impossibility. If you've got 500,000 tons or whatever it is coming down, you're going to have a seismic thing that matches 500,000 tons hitting the ground, right?
Yeah, you're going to have a thud when it hits.
Right. Because you've got other examples where they've done it and it all matches up. Why doesn't this one? Where did the
It
material go?
also leaves chunks. It also leaves chunks, and also it takes a certain amount of time for it to come to hit the ground, especially if it's one part's hitting another part's hitting another part. It takes time for it to hit the ground, and it doesn't. The ground shook for less time than it would take to drop one bowling ball off the roof and have it hit the pavement below. That's a problem.
That's a major problem, isn't it, if we're in the world of physics?
Yep.
You've
It
had
me
training in physics, right?
Yep, that's what engineering mechanics essentially is applied physics. But let's say when we saw the majority of the building turn to dust in midair. That doesn't make a thud when it hits.
I lost those two words. Does it mean what?
We saw the building mostly turn to dust. Most of it turned to dust in midair,
Right?
and dust doesn't make a thud when it hits the ground.
No, it does not.
So that could explain, or would explain, why the ground didn't shake for very long, if the building turn to dust.
And controlled demolition doesn't turn the whole, or 80% of the building to dust.
Correct.
All that does is make it crash down to the bottom, and I've seen lots of pictures where they've done that.
Yep, it makes the chunks land on the ground, so then they can cut up the chunks and haul them away.
Right.
That's what that's about.
But these turned to dust, and then some of the beams, they got around and put themselves like a pretzel and wrapped themselves around each other. And
they're curled up like tortilla chips.
It just boggles the mind.
Yeah, also looking at the site, you know, afterwards, everything with a WTC prefix was destroyed that day, but very little else was. I think that was the oops onto Bankers Trust and Fiderman Hall. But and also looking at the site, yeah, Richard Gage likes to make a big deal out of Building 7. Well, how could you get this, 47-story building and get it to not even spill across the street when it, you know, wads up in the ground?
Or make and a seismic recording.
Right. And what was left of this, quote, rubble pile, it didn't even come partway up Building 6, which was an 8-story building.
I thought one of the most amazing, excuse me, is when I was watching out the side, vertically out of one side. This it's just like a big vacuum cleaner was sucking up dust. I mean, it was just, the building was going out, was this size. What's going on here? I mean, it's going out parallel to the ground. This here can't be happening.
Yeah. From ground to roof. I call it lathering up. It's just this heavy, dust or so, you know, it's heavier than dust coming out of the building all afternoon. It was this, you know, a lot of material.
All right. Well, got out of the Texas here. She's got a question. You got a question for Dr. Wood?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Dr. Wood, right? Did you get there after or before China took all that, all the metal off? Thousands of tons of metal.
Oh, it was all the material was gone in the first hour, in the first 5 minutes.
So that's a lie?
Yeah, it's a lie. It gets people to stop. If people think that there's not enough material there, they give them that excuse, so they don't worry about it. But the material was all gone before the dust settled. You know, before the air cleared.
Well, how soon were you able to get there? Because I know they didn't want anybody to see pictures of it because you couldn't see anything. Everything was gray. The people were gray. The ground was gray. Everything was gray. The only picture I ever saw of it. Do you have those in your book?
Yeah. Everything was gray colored, covered with dust. But I've got a photo in my book, Sullivan, but this particular one, looking up the West Street or West Side Highway, and you're looking at Building 7. It's still standing, so you know what day it is. And it's before 5:20 on 9/11 because Building 7 is still standing. But there should be Tower 1 in between the cameraman in Building 7, and there's not. There's an ambulance parked in front of what used to be Building 1, but there's just some, you know, a few outer columns and a few beams from Stairway B, but most of the stuff is gone. You can see it's just gone. Down to street level, you see the ambulance that was parked at street level. And it didn't get dinged up with anything.
I just heard a story people looking for a place where they could breathe and seeing a bus or something, and everybody crowded into the bus so they could get some air to breathe. It wasn't dust.
The dust was so fine that they needed a respirator for it. Some people would stick their face in their armpit of their shirt and try to use their shirt for an air filter, but that was a big problem, is inhaling all of that dust, because that was all the building was dustified. Just about all of it was. So you had all the constituents of the building and the contents were in that dust.
Yeah,
and the size of the dust particles was 1/100th of the size of red blood cells. That's incredible.
Oh, oh wow. Well, I'm going to get off, and I'll tell you something, Ralph. I wish somebody would write a book on God knowing about it. He knew about it. He told me. I don't know what he's talking about. I didn't know the Bible good enough. And I know two more people actually saw it. And one person, she saw a guy under a table, and he was saying, God, I served you all my life, and I can't even get a cup of coffee. And he turned to her, and he said, because he served me all his life, I'm taking him home now. So I just thought I would throw that out there for all the survivors.
Well, Pat, what I would suggest doing, go to Amazon or go to Dr. Judy Woods with the Word of the Towers, go and get the book. It's a very high quality textbook, hardcover, very, very well done, very well written, and extremely well documented. And you'll have to go through it more than once because there's a ton of information, and we've just covered just some of the high points today. You need the book.
It's written by a teacher.
Pardon? Yeah.
It's written by a teacher.
I'm impressed. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, read it from beginning to end three times. You know, that's most people get the most out of it reading it at least three times. But don't jump around. Start at the beginning and just go straight through. It takes you.
Okay, I wouldn't jump around. I think it's wonderful. Thank you very much. I just really believe that we are not going to be explain a lot of things going on now, and people just need to get right with God and make sure they live through it, because people did live through it, and they're all miracles, you know, people telling about it and stuff. So there's usually somebody. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Well, I want to make a comment, Pat. People, Jose, my people die for a lack of knowledge. The only place you're going to get the facts of a forensic investigation is in Dr. Judy Wood's book.
I believe it.
And it's about, and I really highly recommend, I think it's about $50 or something like that, or under $50 at Amazon. Mm-hmm. And it is the best, if you really want to find out and see what really is going on, the facts, not BS, not smoke, that's the only place you're going to find it. It's nowhere else.
And you get grounded from it. It grounds you into reality.
Well, I'm not sure that we're not as close to Nazis or book burning, so I recommend anybody get anything they want to hold on to. I do. I hate to say that, but...
Go buy the book, Pat.
I will.
Go buy the book,
you.
Pat, and get back to me. Let me know, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Dr.
Cody, Wood. Now, as always, you got a question or comment for
Thank
Dr.
You.
Judy Wood?
Yeah, Doctor, have you ever redone the experiments of Hutchison?
I've watched him do it.
Oh, you watched him personally or just on a video?
Yes, personally.
Personally, you seen him do it?
I went to visit him. Yep, I went to visit him.
Oh, interesting. And what about other physicists? Are they looking? I mean, why is that something that's not been talked about much by all these other, you know, YouTube physicists and whoever? You think that would be something that people have been doing all over and proving it? That's interesting to me.
Because they are attacked for it and ostracized and canceled.
Okay.
It's like my talking about what happened on 9/11 and presenting all the evidence. You know, what that person had said in that article, it just kills me. They said, but Dr. Judy Wood did pursue this in her book, but her findings were too controversial to pursue it further. For the author, it's people don't want to be ridiculed, and that controls their behavior. So that is how our society gets controlled, by fear. The truth is there.
You say you've got a background in physics?
Yes.
Okay, because I don't really hear you talk about any terms of what's going on. I'd be kind of curious what you think is going on with this Hutchison effect. What's the principle that's happening?
Field interference.
Okay, because I know there was talk about what sailors on that boat during the Philadelphia experiment actually being, you know, stuck in the metal. So there's been some stories like that.
Yeah, I don't know much more about it other than just the stories we've heard. But we can have the evidence. It's in hurricanes. I mean, tornadoes. Tornadoes produce a similar type thing.
Okay. Well, somebody lives over in Virginia told me their father worked for the government as a scientist, and her grandfather, whoever it was, and she said, those were the stories. That's only secondhand, third hand, whatever it is. It's, so it's interesting. But we'll keep up the good work. And thanks a lot, Ralph. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Cody, I highly recommend getting that book while it's available.
Okay.
Because this is the only place you're going to find out what's really going on as far as what happened. That's it.
It's kind of like the Mark Twain quote there. It's easier to fool a man than to convince him he's been fooled.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, you got it. That's right.
That's the big problem. So, anyway, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Well, like I was telling Dr. Judy Wood, see, the scary part is this is 20 years later. This technology existed 20 years ago. God knows where we are today.
It existed, longer ago than that, 50 years before that at least, or 100 years even.
Yeah.
This is a little tidbit I like to point out is, according to our history books, static electricity was first discovered in the year 600 B.C., but then it took another 2,400 more years to discover electricity. Does that make sense?
No. You know,
if they keep the peasants, you know, out of the technology, they get to use it more.
Well, I'll say now. So if we were to go a summary of these different things, you've got the seismic information, seismic graph. This stuff is all public. By the way, wasn't there something that happened in Alaska or someplace else that was weird with the, I can't remember what that was.
Yeah, magnetic field. The Earth's magnetic field shifted right precisely when these events happened. It built up and then it suddenly reversed direction. You know, the build up changed. And it reversed.
And where was that at?
Measured in Alaska, but it's interesting, all five events, you know, the two times the buildings got their holes in them, and then the demise of the two towers in Building 7, all of those had, a weird magnetic field shift with them.
Now, that's pretty amazing. Magnetic shift with demolition of buildings clearing New York. We're a long ways from New York.
Yep.
Sometimes I wonder if we're far enough away from New York and the lower 48 with all the stuff that's going on. But that there's documented also.
Yes, in a bunch of different ways.
So there's nothing with thermite, nothing with nuke, nothing with controlled demolition could do anything like that at all.
Right, and it's kind of silly to suggest that, but I heard Ken Jenkins recently say, I'm an engineer, and as an engineer, I know that it had all the classic signs of controlled demolition. Would you hire that person to be an engineer for you?
Nope. It's just like Alex Jones came out of controlled demolition, and I really like D.B. Kidd research on vaccines, but she's way off on this. Back in a minute.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs at Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay. Back here, and we'll go first to Tom in Utah. You got a question for Dr. Wood?
Oh, hi, Judy. Hi, Ralph. This is Tom in Utah. I spent 11 years in New York. I actually worked for the company that did the intercommunication wiring in the buildings. And then when I was sitting here in my office here in Utah, I turned on the news, and of course, the tin can with the motor theoretically struck the steel building, right? My first thought was, boy, the guys that did that are good. Well, when the plane hit the building, theoretically, alleged, and I saw papers floating out of the windows, I said, there goes the economy. And then, of course, later when the buildings went down, I was worried about all my fellows that were still working in the building. And at 9 o'clock, both of those towers were basically at full complement or full load. So I said, and I kept looking to the plaza to see if anybody was coming out, and I didn't see enough people to make me comfortable. Anyway, I knew that the economy was going to implode when those buildings imploded.
Okay, you have a question for Dr. Judy Wood about anything else, about evidence or anything?
No, I just agree with her.
Yeah.
She
The people, a lot of them went out through the bottom, you know, into the mall underneath, underground.
Well, that was still limited since I'd worked in there and knew that traffic burden. The offices were loaded up in shifts, you know, beginning early in the morning, and by 9 o'clock, everybody was pretty much in place from 9 o'clock until noon to do all the transactions. The records of those transactions were held in the other buildings. So the brains in the end, you know, the memory, the human memory of the operations of the building were in the towers, but the paper and the later digital memory was in the other buildings, particularly Building 7. So that really freaked me out because I knew the economy was literally tied to the operations in that building.
Well, they destroyed all of it then, pretty much then, didn't they?
Yeah, and the people who, how to say, facilitated those transactions. What was really curious is one of my friends was invited not to go to the building that day. That was rather curious. Anyway, Judy, if you get a chance, go to gassyamerica.com and give me a holler.
Have you read the book?
Well, you know, I was blinded in D.C. when I was a whistleblower on my issue.
Oh.
I scanned through the book previous to that. By the time I had any free time in the battles I've been doing. But people have read it to me, and I agree with them. See, part of my education was in physics, too. So it makes sense that, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I worked for Whitmer Brothers dropping buildings. That's why I said later when the buildings came down, I said, those guys are really good. They can drop that building into its own footprint. But even more, how did it happen to move that massive material anywhere without a big pyramid-like pile below it? I mean, blocks away. You know, to accumulate all the
just mashing the material down into the building, even with all the windows open, and having stuff squirting out all the windows all the way down, the stuff squirting out at greater than Mach 2 at the bottom. So the adjacent buildings would look machine gun fired, and they were not. They did not look machine gun fired. So that didn't happen.
Yeah. Okay, we've got three more callers here, so thanks for your comments. Robbie and Marilyn, you're up next.
I was wondering what Dr. Wood's opinion is about Israel's role in 9-1-1.
See, I don't deal in conspiracy theories. Conspiracy is with two or more people, you know, conspire to do something illegal. And I don't address... you know, who did whatever. So I stay away from that. As well as I don't do anything theory. I do what the facts are, what the evidence is.
Well, thank you so much.
Brad, sure. Question or comment?
Who?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, hey. Judy, I heard... it declared that there are these microspheres that are colored red and gray, and purportedly from this credentialed entity, supposedly, that's the hallmark of mini nuke explosions.
It's also the hallmark of crop circles and various other things.
Okay, and I thank you for bringing up the magnetic anomaly there in Alaska. I knew from your previous interviews that I heard relative to the seismographic recordings. And then the anomalous molten... Wasn't there a huge pool of molten metal for weeks after the event?
Nope. There's one of the water mains broke and it flooded the street into kind of a lake. And you could see firefighters wading through it. They didn't look like boiled chicken. If it was that hot, you know, you'd have steam explosions, but there's no no evidence of high heat.
Thank you. And then you clearly expounded on the fact that 500,000 tons in each power, right? 500,000 tons, 110 stories, was dustified into microparticles. Like you said, what was it, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell?
Yeah. Some of it was fine.
That's astonishing. And then there were the vehicles at the perimeter, half of it, or one side or the front half was like incinerated, melted down, even the block, the engine block maybe, and the wheels. I mean, I just can't fathom, especially when John Lear is able to read a military document of 200 plus pages in which it is described a remotely operated airborne platform 3D hologram technology that can project, and that's what I'm positive everyone's lying eyes believe they saw, a holographic image slicing essentially through it's like a hot butter through that. Okay, so
yeah,
go ahead, please.
I look at the evidence of what happened. Like also with these weird vehicles, there's a police car that has polycarbonate lights on the top. Burned, not melted, and that they've melted at pretty low temperature. Yet the vehicle looks toasty inside, really toasty. But the back end is like a new wax job, fresh off the showroom floor.
And I also have to ask, Judy, wasn't there a most anomalous hurricane event in which the hurricane somehow magically parked itself, halted itself off the coast of Long Island on that morning?
Yes, there was a high pressure system from the west and the hurricane from the east, and they just happened to meet exactly at 9 a.m. There.
And could that have possibly been an integral element in an energy input for a directed energy weapon system that must have been, I'm convinced, was deployed?
Yeah, I don't know if you have energy input or not, but it's more of a phenomenon that would happen with the interference. Looking at parallel evidence, looking at John Hutchison's work, creating a static field, and then interfering radio frequency signals within that. And so we know that hurricanes produce static fields. I'm not saying that's proof, but it was there.
Well, there's a fellow that called earlier and was asking you about the Hutchison effect, and I thank you for that, because that's significant in explaining this energy scenario.
Also have hurricanes, tornadoes and things like that, like in the Midwest, Tornado Alley. And so there's plenty of data there too of these strange effects that tornadoes do.
And Judy, with all your scholarship, your astonishing brilliance in compiling this, I will say, irrefutably accurate evidentiary proof. And I would have thought that the university, was it the University of South Carolina? I would have thought they would have elevated you in stature, promoted you, sent you on a lecture circuit, paid you $100,000 per lecture. What happened to you in your position?
Well, no, I don't want to really get into that, but I did have some stuff planned. But it's very disruptive to the university environment because of all the trolls and whatnot. So it isn't something that's why I didn't stay there to do the book while I left. So I was free to do my own work. Look at all the flack I get now. Do you think any institution would want to invite that?
No. And, well, Judy, I'm definitely going to order several copies of your book. Okay. Is it best to go to your, it's probably best just to go to your website, right?
Either way, whichever is most convenient for you. If you're going to order a bunch of it, might be, discount, a slight discount if you go to the website.
Yeah, now your website is, again, wheredidthetowersgo.com.
wheredidthetowersgo.com. And keep remembering, that's the question that people should be asking.
Indeed. Absolutely. 500,000 tons.
Each tower.
Each. That's right, each. 110 stories, 500,000 tons.
Yeah. And it was noticeable right afterwards, the next day, just about 25 hours later, Peter Jennings in the studio was asking George Stephanopoulos on the site, where'd all the rubble go? Everybody had been asking that in his office.
Indeed. Where did it all go?
They were taught not to ask that question.
And wasn't there a woman who declared that the epicenter and its immediate surroundings was A-OK, there was no danger to the first responders, right? And so all the people that were inhaling all that microparticle effluent became subsequently severely afflicted, right?
Well, if you have all of the building, just about, is turned to really fine dust, you're inhaling all constituents of the building. Even mm-hmm. They even had some DNA and some biological matter in there.
Wow, that's right. And they probably had asbestos in those buildings also, I would think.
Not so much. That was another fake story that came out. When they were building the towers, they had one of them 40 stories up when asbestos was outlawed, and so they retrofitted, they took out the asbestos, put in non-asbestos, and the rest of that tower didn't have any in it, and the other tower never had any in it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I've heard that from several other sources. Thank you for clarifying that, Dr. Judy. So, well, Ralph, I shouldn't take up any more time. There's probably other callers. If not, then carry on. I'm looking forward to ordering several copies, Dr. Judy, from your website. Okay, thank you. And hey, can I get them autographed? Judy, can I get your autograph?
They come from someplace else, but you'd have to. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, honey. Thank you.
Mike in Kentucky. Question for Dr. Wood.
Will there be a way to mail you a copy or a book that you could sign, right, or not? Email, contact, and then get an address to mail you.
Yeah, perhaps, or some sticker thing. could figure out how to arrange that.
Well,
a sticker to place in it.
There's just a ridiculous amount of stuff that doesn't add up about September 11th, and I, one of the previous callers, I think, a lot of people have. What would be the term? I don't know. They have a vested interest in propping up some of these people, like, of course, Dr. Stephen Jones. There's a lot of analogies that can be drawn mm-hmm. with you and him. He wasn't so much defrocked as he left that university because he didn't want to harm its reputation. That's what the defenders of Stephen Jones say.
Yeah, he retired. He bought his retirement home before he announced he was leaving. He bought a retirement home and moved into it.
They were jerked his ability to teach classes, and in a documentary he claims that that really hurt him.
Right.
So
he thinks that sells the story better.
It kind of does, but that previous caller talking about the spears, he's got it kind of backwards. The story goes that it was thermetic red-gray chips that they put in some kind of a heat chamber, and they had a thermetic effect, but that these balls of molten steel and or iron were a byproduct of thermite. That, the previous caller kind of had that backwards as far as the way the story goes. But the other thing I've seen that they try to explain these cars, and I've looked at a lot of the photographs of the cars, and there is some video of them, and they had to move these things, clear the streets in order to get rescue vehicles in and stuff like that. So a lot of those cars,
right?
There's photographs
not
of them,
a lot
having,
of them
haven't been moved.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen pictures of like whole street sides of rows of them that have been moved from their original position. And yeah, half of them are burnt and half of them aren't. But not all of them clearly could be explained by that.
There's not a lot of them that have been moved. Like the toasted car lot, there's pictures of them beforehand when they're, you know, pristine condition, and then they're in the exact same place, toasted. So, you know, they were, you know, there. But there's over 1,400 vehicles that were toasted that day. Now, if somebody's going to say they're underneath the towers, how deep do you stack them? 1,400 cars to have them under the towers?
No, but
you
I didn't
see how ridiculous
them,
it starts getting.
I didn't see them stacked after they were moved. Obviously, there's some places where they were pulled in, maybe in a,
right.
in a parking lot, or you know how that's. You got parallel parking in a row, but then there's some parking lots where they're pulling at an angle, you know, and so.
But still, if somebody's gonna say they're under the towers and they got moved, they're saying that 1,400 cars were stacked up underneath the towers in order to have thermite sprinkled on them. That's what the story is, that thermite sprinkled out on them. But it wouldn't make
sense.
This,
yeah, there's
yeah.
no parking
yeah,
around
there's
those towers. The plaza was like this temple to the sun. If you've ever seen it, they had a globe there with these
yeah.
rays going out from underneath those.
Yeah.
There's kind of like some occult stuff going on with the architecture there, I think. And you see that once you start to look, there's a lot of kind of occult overtones that are built into architecture.
Yeah, but I don't get into that. But the deal with the cars is, you don't have a pile of cars underneath the towers. So wherever they were,
well,
you had
parking
someplace.
Garages down there, but that still doesn't explain that. The other thing was when the 1993 bombing happened, they went around testing the air for asbestos, and they declared it safe. That was one of the main concerns, that there would be asbestos in the air
I'm not talking about 93.
Yeah, in 1993,
yeah.
there was no asbestos in the air. They'd let everybody, they cleared them to go in there and do whatever. And so what you're saying is, even though I don't know where you documented that they mitigated that asbestos when it was outlawed before the towers were finished. I've never heard that they did that.
With the sources.
So there is a documentation.
It's in my book with the sources.
There is a source, okay, because I thought that was weird that in the 93 bombing that there was no asbestos disturbed and none detected. I thought, well, that's kind of weird, you know, because, it wasn't just in the insulation, but like the gypsum board, the sheetrock, the pipe insulation, the floor tile. Asbestos, until it was outlawed, was used in all sorts of building materials up until whatever the year was, 1971 or whatever. So there's a lot of old buildings that they can still use if they treat it properly. I know somebody that's actually was an asbestos inspector. So this, like I said, this is the first I've heard that there's proof that they mitigated that asbestos. Because it was supposed to be a third of the way up the North Tower, I think, is the tail.
Yeah, it was 40 stories, and 40 stories, and then they took it out and replaced it, and then none of the rest of the building had it in it. Two never had it in it.
Now, I always thought that was so crazy that Elaine Chao just said, wear long pants, don't worry about the dust, it's safe. Secretary.
Well, there's a lot more major things going on there than a little bit of thought, maybe asbestos. I mean, there's just...
Well, and mercury from all the fluorescent bulbs, there's how many tons of those got shredded up, you know? All the fluorescent bulbs had, you know, heavy metals in them, and I mean, you just go on and on, smoke detectors, whatever, just all got shredded up. But I have heard, and I've worked in concrete and cement a little bit myself, and there's ways to debond the Portland, and over time, you can weaken concrete in several ways. One of the things that commonly is passed around in the 9/11 Truth Movement is that they made a freshman architectural mistake in the way that they bonded the facade, the aluminum facade, to the steel. Such a way
there is a mistake there, but that has nothing to do with the building's mostly turning to dust and midair.
Well, it debonded the Portland because there was an electrical a galvanic corrosion that occurred.
The way I would demolish the
buildings in a conventional way, if you can see the prefab structures as they were put together. You can see how there's connectors that are used and pins that were in the prefab part of it, and they had open handles.
Well, let me interrupt here. The bottom line is, where'd all that steel go? Where'd all the steel go?
That's what I was about to tell you. The way that I would do this if I was going to do it, and I have a source that worked up there.
That gets away from what actually happened.
The Verizon building up there, I know somebody that saw for weeks and weeks construction crews going in and out of there as they took smoke breaks, and they were drilling into the building itself, and they were curious enough about it that they looked at it. And so where these connectors were, it's easy enough to have a cover story that you're looking for this galvanic corrosion. You're checking the connectors. We've got a problem with the building.
We're getting into conspiracy theories.
Yeah, we're getting way off into La La Land. The bottom line
Not really. That's how you break the building apart into components. It was put together in components. You break it apart.
It was turned mostly into dust, not into chunks.
No, there's plenty of pictures of big steel beams and components.
Let's get rid of this.
Turn into dust.
That's nonsense here. What if this and that? Let's go BS baloney.
I'd like to add one more thing is that, you know, people like to say it was rigged for controlled demolition. I've got pictures in my book of road signs that say, you know, turn off cell phones and two-way radios, blasting zone ahead. Well, how do you do that in Manhattan? Turn off cell phones and two-way radios. No, you can't do that.
No.
Yeah, so
the thing is, you've got the evidence. It's there. Maybe it's
the
not what if you know, we'll see. We'll get around. We'll explain one little teeny thing, and then you've took on every issue that happened with facts, all of it.
Yep.
And nobody.
I don't need to do any what ifs.
That any of it is not right. That's the important part. Nobody wants to talk about the facts that you have and the qualifications that you have to look at it.
Yeah, and those who divert away from it are those trying to cover up the facts, because they don't want the facts to come out. That's how the cover up is run.
It is. Well, thank you for coming on today, Dr. Judy Wood, and God willing,
thanks for having me.
I'll see everybody next Sunday.
Good night, sweetheart.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic.